Oh, we're live.
That sounds like a prison line.
No, we're not. Oh. Now we're going to be live here. Because I started streaming it, and then I'm like, and I went to go hit record, and then it didn't.
God damn it.
It didn't record.
Oh. We are an explicit podcast.
Everybody, right? Oh, fuck yeah. All
right. Do you even listen to this? Come on.
I've listened to it a couple times.
I mean, early on, you guys attempted not to curse, you know, left and right, but...
And then they opened their mouths?
Well, then they realized how hard it is to hold a conversation without those key pieces of vocabulary.
Oh, man, I tell you, like, that's the thing, shitty thing about the English language, is everybody's like, oh, you said shit, that's bad, but shucks is okay, even though everyone knows as soon as you say shucks, you hear shit. Like, you think shit. And, like, when I say, like, I'm pissed off, like, you know that I'm super fucking mad. But, like, if I say I'm angry, like, I'm just some guy venting my feelings, and that's that. But, like, other countries have, like, different words to explain how angry they are with somebody, and we just have censorship. Fuck censorship.
Well, and there's those various degrees, too. I had an employer who always yelled at me for using the word crap when I was trying to be polite and safe.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, but that's not as bad as it goes. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a more intense word I'm deliberately avoiding there.
It's actually why one of my friends says, oh, poop. Because that gets you a much more visceral reaction.
That makes me feel like I'm in kindergarten.
if visceral reaction is somebody like saying, are you fucking retarded? Did you say poop?
No, what I say is for my guttural reaction from people is fuck me in the goat ass.
Well, specifically, there's which a separate is, ass for you know.
If anybody's a fan of Adam Sandler, that was basically one of his quotes from there.
I had a friend.
So I wasn't saying that I really wanted to be fucked in the goat ass, but I'm just quoting Adam Sandler.
Or that you
Sandler's.
Wanted to fuck a goat ass. That
yeah, that's, yeah. Welcome to episode 148 of the Crippled System Podcast. My name is Andy.
My name is Max.
I'm Jeff.
My name is Brian.
Yay! We were just giving you the...
That's our intro, right?
Well, that was our intro, is you talking about, you know, using swear words at language. The appropriate
God
time.
Damn it. It's just that they mean so much, and when you try to like chastise those words or castrate those words, it fucking sucks. God damn it!
I gotta adjust the mic or the camera here. So
that's like at work, I end up dealing with a lot of our executive team, and I just swear around them all the fucking time. And they just don't know what to do with me. I'm surprised I haven't been fired yet because of it. But I'm just like, you know that when I say somebody screwed something up, that I'm really just saying they fucked it up really bad. So why don't I just say that and get on with it? Fucking health insurance. So we're adjusting.
No, we're good.
We're good. Okay.
Announcements and other shenanigans.
Yeah. So announcements so far... I think most of the tournament action in Wisconsin has ceased for right now. There's a little bit of a lull. Well, no, there's not a lull. On the 20th, there's a tournament in Baraboo. It's a 35-point with a bunch of newbie beginners, two lists, just standard steamroller, but a lot of people who are there haven't played in a tournament before, so that's what I'm doing in Baraboo. If you want to go somewhere where you can be a little bit more of a dick, you can go to Oshkosh and on the 20th as well for a 50-point steamroller. And Pete's Garage is there, so I kind of want to run the tournament remotely so I can just eat at Pete's and not have to run the tournament that I'm running in Baraboo.
How mad would you be at us if we go to Pete's?
If you guys went to Pete's, I wouldn't be mad at all because I know that I could just go there whenever I want to and be fine. I don't need a tournament to go to as an excuse to go to Pete's. Actually, the real reason I go to Oshkosh is for Pete's, and there just happens to be a War Machine tournament going on.
Okay. So, I'm trying to gauge this now.
No, if you want to troll me with burgers all day, pictures of us. You can go there for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Because I think that's what Nathan, Brian, and I are going to do. We're going to go to the tournament.
Yeah, go there and fuck around and have a burger. Like, you guys deserve it. You've ditched me on burgers twice now at Pete's. And you need to experience it.
Once.
No, you've been there twice. There was the one time where you had to, like, leave the room because you were getting jackhammered by Darius. And
what?
You got a call in the middle of your game. You were getting your shit pounded in from Darius.
Because thank God.
Retribution into, what is it, 8 Signar Jacks is a bad time. Will of the 9 Voices.
Did I actually kill...
No, Darius got you because he full-throttled the Hammersmith onto your caster.
Oh, yeah. I forget my losses.
I remember your games better than you do. Yeah. And then there was the second time, which was the more recent one, that you ended up going home with your car, and we went to Pete's.
Oh, yeah, because...
The Christmas tournament.
Yeah, that was when I was... I'm very glad I didn't go to Pete's, because that would have prevented me from being driving home as soon as I could, because I only had... Both my headlights were actually out of my car.
Oh, gotcha.
Only my left bright light was working. So I had to drive home with...
That's so bad.
One bright light all the way home, praying to God that it didn't go out.
Oh, man.
I could have gone to... Because I think there was a couple places still open. There's
like a Weaver Auto Parts there or something. You could just pick up a headlight and pop it in.
I was poor.
Yeah.
That night, I wanted to go home.
I hear you. But those are going on soon, so that's the soonest tournaments are happening around here. Then Stevens Point has made a tournament out of nowhere. It's like a 35-point mangled metal tooth and claw tournament that happens on the 27th. It is one list only, so it's got the potential to do have some really egregious stuff happen there. I don't know if they're a new meta or new people in general, or it's probably just a new store, but... I was thinking about trying to go there and just power game the shit out of it for no reason.
So when are is you that? Legion players, bring Lilith too.
that may be what I'm bringing.
Oh, did I? You know about this. I don't think many other people know about this. It is now 20 Crixteen for me.
Oh, you're in 20 Crixteen? Well, I'm bunch going, of Crix if you need to fill in any gaps.
I have no gaps to fill.
Oh,
have you seen my room?
I think there might be one gap that we could fill.
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Why? What gap do you think
I need? Are you missing bathroom?
I don't have bathroom, no.
Boom. That's a gap.
No. Actually,
I've got the
forget that. Thing I actually have him gap. Coming on the way from Privateer.
Oh, well, that works then. No, I just like transferred it to you. It's like a disease, but...
No.
Crix is a disease. You're right.
I've played Crix before, even though Jeff doesn't believe that I have. But I have played Crix before. I've been pretty decent with them. I just, I really, really want to play my Rhett more. But at the same time,
you don't Helios lose is every
not
game.
Out. Helios is not out yet. And goddamn, I really want my Helios for my Virus 2.
Oh my god, yes.
It's so much fun.
But then you saw the Sepulchre, and then the other announcement too all the Colossals are dual kit now.
Could care less.
Whatever. Sepulchre's pretty legit.
No. Could care less.
Wait until you hear the other news and announcements part and you'll get a little boner. It'll make the table bounce. But so that the Stevens Point thing is happening, and then I don't know what's going on in March yet, but I'm sure there'll be stuff that comes out of the woodwork at the most inconvenient of times, like they do in Wisconsin. So that's like local tournament news.
Yeah.
Like the other news is that it seems like every podcast in existence has already talked about the Primecast, because it's replaced like the keynote speech from TempleCon since TempleCon moved.
TempleCon just got dumb.
They did. They're like, oh, what are we going to do?
What's
happened during Gen Con?
Yeah, let's have a tournament. let's have it happen during, instead of being like the starting point for War Machine tournaments. Again, I guess they're not a full War Machine tournament, but let's have ours in the middle of the summer.
It's one of the big conventions.
Yeah.
Actually, it's probably one of the biggest in the world. Well, at least not the world, but maybe the U.S., as I have learned from all of our East Coast compatriots.
Yeah.
It is the biggest War Machine event in the world.
Stop being a regionalist.
Oh, this is the heartland. We're the center of the universe. But yeah, so TempleCon moved, like a bunch of smart people. Like, I'm sure for the East Coast has some reason for it. Maybe they just want to show how big they are or how cool their tournament scene is.
I'm not sure. I mean, CaptainCon basically filled that void pretty well.
Yeah, CaptainCon slid right in there, and I think that was a big deal. Although I got to like listen to the people who won some of the big tournaments there, and I'm just like, okay, well, if these people are taking events, the East Coast is just a bunch of bad War Machine players.
So clearly this means that Crippled System is going to big East Coast tournaments and taking them all down.
Well, yeah, no. I mean, I could go there and probably win all of their Masters tournaments, really. I mean, if we really broke it down, I could go there and probably do it with double Cephalax or something like that.
Jesus Christ. You don't need to be the most controversial person in the podcast world.
There are some people who don't hate Brian Kerr, so you need to work on that.
There will be a ton of people who jump out and still think that I'm just like a blatant prick. and I'm fine with that.
I want a picture of you and your, because you have an infectious smile. I want a picture of your infectious smile on a t-shirt that just says, I'm a prick.
That works. I don't know. People like me. I'm like Stuart Smalley over here.
Or just says, oh, I love this shirt that we have that we never actually put it out except for on Zazzle that says on the front, I'm crippled.
Oh, yeah.
And on the back, it says system's best fan or number one fan. But this have like a picture of I'm crippled with your face. And on the back says crippled system.
I don't know.
Podcast member.
Yeah, podcast member might work for it. I might be able to talk to Jeremy actually, wearing one of those actually,
too. Honestly, I think all of us would probably wear that now. If we have I'm crippled.
So we can all just basically get run over by wheelchair people?
Oh, yeah.
That's what their technical term is, right? That's the PC term.
Wheelchair people? Yes. Or wheels.
Yep.
Or speedy. Hot rod. Yeah, hot rod. That works. It works as well. How do you drift in those things? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe you just got to like lock one brake. I think they're both sides. But so yeah, the Primecast thing happened and it sounded like everybody quoted a Facebook post that somebody used just to give like brief, like here's kind of like the overview of what happened. And I think there was a lot of stuff that was lost in that translation. So one of the things that I really wanted to like get into and fix was everybody seems to think that the Menoth caster is based off of Kingpin, but he's not.
You got to talk about these characters as if I was in kindergarten and never seen anything in my life. Because I didn't listen to anything about Primecast even read the results.
They say the Menoth caster is supposed to be like the butcher of Menoth.
Okay.
Or the butcher equivalent, even though they did it with Durst, and I guess that just wasn't good enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's got such a tiny head.
Well, I think the real reason is they want everybody to like lose these Biscuit of the Faith jokes, but they're never going to go away. That's the opposite of Limp Bizkit's hits.
Oh.
But he's like supposed to make fire bigger and has a butcher-like feat that they say makes fire bigger, but I don't know if it's going to be like, if he might have Explosivo for like AoEs that do fire, or maybe he might be the first one who takes sprays and makes sprays longer, who knows, or additional die on fire.
Yeah,
it just got lazy. It's going to be like Nemo 3 with fire.
They're gonna make, God forbid they do something original.
They're gonna make it. He's gonna make it so cleansers can purge.
Well, they did say that his armor is based off of a cleanser, so there's that.
I hope that just means if you hit him in the back, he explodes.
Maybe
if his armor's if he honestly looks like a cleanser, that will be an amazing looking model. Because cleansers, to me, all the flame guard are probably my favorite looking models of there. I like the dome helmets.
The
I like
heads. Yeah, you like those?
I do. I do.
Like ramming them into your opponent?
I do. Especially with their little prongs on the end of their, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. So they didn't
say...
burning,
though, so
watch out. They didn't say that he was based off of Kingpin as the comic book character. They said he was based off of the person who played Kingpin in the movie.
I thought you were talking about
that big black guy from the Green Mile.
I thought you had a wooden hand.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Okay, well, I heard that came up too, but then I was like, Vincent D'Onofrio is Kingpin. I thought it was that massive black guy who's dead. I remember him being Kingpin once.
Oh, yeah. He was the Kingpin in
the movie We Try to Forget.
Okay.
No, actually, to be honest with you, that movie is not that bad.
It's pretty bad. The villains are the best part about it.
Yeah. It's not that. It's not as. It's much better than its wannabe sequel, Elektra. Well, that movie's horrible. Daredevil's not bad.
Daredevil's not that bad. Like a hemorrhoid's not that bad. You still don't want it.
No, I'll watch it again. I thought his portrayal of the Kingpin was pretty fucking awesome. I did like. Oddly enough, Colin Farrell was pretty awesome as Bullseye.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Like I said, the villains are the best part of that movie.
Yeah, Ben Affleck was Ben Affleck. Whatever. He's a blind guy in a red suit.
Yeah, nothing fancy.
Some of the fight scenes were pretty decent. I would not mind watching that movie again.
I've seen equivalent choreography on television. I am not a fan of that movie. It is not very good, and I've never understood people who are big defenders of it.
Like, okay, so the Primecast did say Vincent D'Onofrio as being that. So I'd like to think that. So the main character, the newest caster of the Protectorate, is going to be running around looking for an Eggers suit. That'd be my guess.
I was,
and you know, also looking for sugar water.
Everybody keeps that talking. Would
be amazing.
Whenever somebody brings up Vincent D'Onofrio, I think they forget one of my favorite movies for him, and I would say it's probably one of the best ones that he's done.
Let's see if we can go 1, 2, 3, Full Metal Jacket.
Fuck you.
Full Metal Jacket. Come
Full
on.
Metal Jacket was good, but I think that's like so canonical that you have to kind of ignore it a little bit. The Cell, he did an amazing job in that one where he played like 4 different fucking characters and did superb. Plus, like the artistic appeal of that movie. If you get rid of sarcastic, funny guy and Jennifer Lopez and just leave you with Vincent D'Onofrio,
his mind?
No, just like, yeah, whatever. Leave him there and get rid of J-Lo and fucking guy I can't remember. And we're done.
The other character.
He's in that Neighborhood Watch movie. He's like the guy who has tons of money and has the man cave that everybody retires to. Whatever. I'll figure it out later. But that was the big clarification on the Menoth caster.
When I think of Vincent D'Onofrio, I immediately think of basically 2 things. Full Metal Jacket is being one of them, and the other one is being Men in Black.
Yeah, that's a big one too.
Him and Men in Black, he makes that movie.
Mm-hmm. I think he did a good job. I'm not saying that. I think it's hard for me to find one that I don't like him in. Even like Law and Order, I think it wasn't SVU that he, maybe it was SVU that he was in.
I think so.
But he did great in that. That was the only reason why I'd ever watch that show with my mom.
Yep. He's a really good actor.
Yep. Fantastic. So then, another clarification that came up was, the Retribution caster. Everybody, I think people were saying that she had like, there was some kind of interaction with, with Ossian, but it sounds like her and Ossian are a unit, like they're dating. There's actually a romantic mix in there, and they're saying that some of her action on the table is going to be reflected in some of what House Vire brings to the table. I had no fucking clue what they bring to the table.
House Vire? They have basically electromancers.
A three-man unit.
Yeah.
it's actually not that bad, okay?
Hold
on. That's like the story of every Retribution player's life.
Hold on. So,
we're going down now.
I replaced one of my units. Basically, I had an Ossian list.
Yeah.
That I had 2 Mage Hunter Strike Force, the Stormfall Archers.
Mm-hmm.
I had 2 Stormfall Archers in there. I decided, okay, well, we'll give the Electromancers a chance. We'll replace one of those Stormfall Archers with Electromancers.
Mm-hmm.
For the next, I think, like 8 games that I played with them, I wish that they were Stormfall Archers.
Well, I mean, they're two different things. Like, Electromancers, like, if you want to eliminate all of the infantry on the table, that is what they
do. Which Retribution really
Stormfall Archers
help
can
with.
Do from a distance. Mm-hmm.
Hey, you can do it for 4 points, bounce it off a Hyperion. It's pretty fun.
Okay.
Yeah, that works too. But, oh, man, every single time I had them on the field, they were just... it wasn't that I was playing them out of position. They just felt like I couldn't do anything with them. But these Stormfall Archers over here, they were just getting shit done. So I was like,
Electromancers are just one of those things where, like, I don't see them on the table often. And when I do, I'm like, oh, yeah, I have to remember what these guys do. Because if there's one thing in this world that fucks you, it's the model that you forgot the rules to. And then I remember the rules or look at their card in War Room while I'm playing. I'm like, yeah, it doesn't matter for shit. It just doesn't do a damn thing.
It's mostly because you're out of 20 Krixtine now.
Well, yeah, I'm out of 20 Krixtine, but...
I'm going 20 Krixtine.
Yeah, I know. You'll be picking up that torch for me.
Yep.
It's Curver Blight 2016, as made famous by Nathan Hoffman. It'll be good. The other thing that I wanted to talk about was the Kador caster. I think a lot of people, when they heard the description of him, that they thought we were getting just another butcher, but he just happens to be a Kador guy who has an axe. He's an Iron Fang caster, okay. So I'm super stoked for seeing what he does. I think he's going to be like more of a support role for Kador. Like,
it'd probably be similar to like the Great Bears.
Yeah,
As if you're thinking for an Iron Fang, because they're Iron Fang character unit.
They are. Well. They're a specialty Iron Fang. They're like like the last survivors because they all taught every single one of those fucking guys backswing. So that was, I don't think it's a doom and gloom or getting another butcher. Like, I think
why
we're going
to
get
a
nice
doom and gloom statement to begin with? Because the butchers have been historically pretty good.
I think there are 2 camps. You either play Kador or you play butcher. Mm. And the people who play butcher are the ones that the Kador players don't really like a whole lot because they give themselves a bad name. So like Jordan, bad.
Yeah.
No, I everybody that. Else, okay, yeah. And this is fine. But then it just, like, the Kador list kind of boil down to like Butcher 3 and your Crix drop. Like that's kind of a, there maybe a little bit of a stagnancy in the faction, but I know you can play other lists and it's perfectly viable and fine, but when you come down to it, those are the lists that gel really well with their matchups.
Yeah, Ardroden just basically takes Pikeman spam with Butcher 2?
Butcher 1.
Butcher 1.
Claws of the Dragon.
Yeah, Claws of the Dragon.
He doesn't actually use Butcher 3 at all.
No, he doesn't. He does 1 and 2. Yeah. He just uses 1 and 2 and just does the mass amount of infantry spam with both.
Yeah, they both kind of play the same game. It's just like, can you deal with Doom Reavers or can you deal with Pikeman? And then once you have the answer to that question, you know what you drop. But
yeah,
I mean, there were some other cool... Yeah, Mobius is going to be a big deal because five-inch AoEs are really hard to dodge. But other than that, all the casters sound...
I'll emphasize this,
that they sound really cool.
Yeah, you were mentioning this at the beginning here.
And we have like a strange idea of what they look like that PP has constructed. Tips from a real pro podcast over here now. If you're going to tell people what something looks like, you should probably just show them instead of just talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's preview models, you know, makeup models, if you're saying it like you have it in front of you, you should just show us, especially
I'd like to pretend that all these casters are actually just drawn on index cards and not even well, like really poorly, like stick figures and highlight notes, like really big spear, fire.
Not an umbrella stick. That's the design space for men.
That's what they had to say, because you couldn't tell them in the sticker you're drawing.
Yeah, well, even just like the 3D like map for it, like that would be fine. Like that's how we saw Abby 2 right away. Like that was legit. It was really exciting and interesting. But like they were talking about like Agathea, I think is her name, is if I'm pronouncing it right. She's like this Bane floating on a skirt of souls that has angel wings and a weapon that looks like a scythe. So like she looks legit. She's got like this super cool like battle group focused spell set, or just like that's kind of what she does. And her feats, like they said specifically in this one, I remember really well, was that it's like the Kaya yo-yo feat where you send in your jacks and then they turn into shadows and retreat back to you. So I'm almost feeling like her feat's super legit and makes the jacks incorporeal when they yo-yo back.
It could just be like the old Shadow Wings or whatever, they just teleport back.
You know, it could just be like a teleport. I don't think they would go incorporeal because you could still counter it with the magical weapon.
Yeah.
They could go like Gaspy Ghostly.
That was the first thing that came to my mind was incorporeal. Mm-hmm. But so she sounds pretty legit. Circle sounds like they're getting a caster that's less gimmicky. They have like a Disciple of Wormwood. She's got like part of Wormwood's roots made out of her staff, or is what makes up her staff. And she, like, they say that she doesn't treat her beasts really well. So, like, I think everybody's thinking of abuse and maltreatment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably.
And she's like,
I don't want to think a circle with abuse.
Yeah, I know. And she's got Crixian spell list.
Well, then that means to me, it sounds like that she would actually have a no construct thing to her.
She could very well have,
because it's hard to beat a rock.
Just because she mistreats the live ones, I mean, that's more sense for her to have the ones that aren't alive. They don't feel so bad when they're mistreated.
Yep. There was not a mention of Mercs, mercenary or minion casters at all, which is kind of bummy. But there was the Legion one sounds like she has a really cool backstory. Like she had found an Athink or Athink. I don't know how you pronounce
it. I think it's Anthink.
But she found one and she ended up like trying to protect it during a battle or during some kind of skirmish. So like Everblight figured, her backstory is like Everblight figured she'd be a good caster because of the decision she makes, but she didn't want to be. So like she's got all this power she never really wanted. So she's like Legionnaire based. She's like their Legionnaire caster. So that'll be really fun. It doesn't sound super exciting, but it is something different and something cool. It's like, you know, your altruistic Legionnaire, which is weird. But
it seems like most of the casters are basically derived from some kind of troop type that's
exactly
in their,
you can kind of time that's in their army. Somewhere.
So I mean, then the circle, not the circle, but the Crix caster sound like maybe an old Warwitch siren.
A Bane. She's Bane. A Bane.
Yeah. Oh, she's a Bane. Bane.
She's her, her Bane background,
Lord something or other.
Yeah, okay. Bane Lord Agathea. She her just as she went to the void and got all this power and stuff wherever the void is. But
I think it's right next to the Walmart.
What's that?
I think it's right next to the Walmart.
Yeah, probably.
Where the void is.
That'd be
It's at the Bed Bath & Beyond. It's in the Beyond part.
I know it's supposed to be like this place between like the world of the living and the world of the dead, and this is like terrible, like purgatory style torturous existence. You know, that wouldn't be very purgatory-y.
Oh, I do remember. I did work at a Walmart, so there was a very purgatory spot there.
But they always talk about like that void spot as something like you just go to visit it because you know like and you can pull out you know evil souls to make bands with, like not a big deal.
Yeah,
it's got to be a convenience store. Probably exactly. Has like a drive-through liquor department.
It's like it's that one where like you get the beer on the shelf and you don't know if it's like still good or not. Like it takes a while for beer to go bad. But actually, I worked at I used to be basically a merchandiser for Pepsi, and I went to a Kmart, and like the place got so few customers, and the guy who I replaced was such a shitbag that the water, the Aquafina water, went cloudy and expired.
Ew!
Like that just never fucking happens. But this guy for the last 6 years just hadn't rotated the stock. It's so bad.
That is a statement when you get skunky water on your shelves. Yeah. Skunky bottled water.
Was it bottled in Flint?
I don't know. Yeah, probably. Probably weighed more than the rest of it. But yeah, there's a lot of neat, exciting things. The Signar one sounds all right. She's like a POW that got released from Menoth somehow, but she's like, supposedly there's supposed to be a bunch of history between her and Stryker, so it might not, it sounds like it's not good history.
Well, she was the one holding Stryker in the toilet for the swirly.
Probably, and that's how he got his permanent hairdo. But she's like she's got this cool like storm armor, and she's got a sword that's like two times her size.
Are these characters brand new characters, or are they characters that actually have appeared in some way or another in their? Because I'm a bad PG, and I have not read any of the fluff.
I think the only one that has that kind of backstory is like the Scorn guy.
Scorn guy, yeah. Okay, all of them are new except for him.
Okay,
and literally his only thing is, he got shot in the face.
But. Yeah, I know. That was like, they're like, oh, we're bringing this guy back. He's super cool. He's got whips. We're not going to tell you shit about him other than he got basically butt fucked by Gunnbjorn.
Yeah, which is a terrible statement. Like, oh, who did it? Gunnbjorn? Oh.
He crit devastated on his face. Just bad. I'm trying to remember what I might be leaving out. I know I wanted to save the last one for the best one for last, but the one that I'm really excited about is the Ragnar Sky Splitter Earthbreaker guy. I think it's Sky Splitter, but like he's supposed to be the biggest Trollblood Warlock they've built yet. I think they might not have thought about Borka 2 when they made that statement, but.
Well, if you're looking at like the guy himself, not dude on a bear.
Yeah. I mean, he might come on a huge base or a large base, but.
It'd be really cool if he did. Or a large base caster. Yeah, trolls don't have a large base caster. It'd be kind of neat.
No, they do. Borka 2.
Well, Borka 2, yeah, never mind. I guess I'm just as bad as they are. I'm going to tell you how he looks now. But they said like he's like the anti Doom Shaper. So like we finally have another troll guy who's got like political statements as far as how they feel the trolls should like work with other ones instead of guys who just fight, or they're either Doomshaper or Madrak. So he's supposed to be like the Runeshaper caster. So one of the things that they had said was that he had explosive earthquakes. So I'm curious to see what kind of spell that would, because if he has to have earthquake in some way, shape or form.
Could be earth spikes.
Eruption of spikes or whatever?
Earth spikes, which is a Baldur spell.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is basically a knockdown.
Okay.
In a sense. A crit knockdown, I believe.
Yeah, it does damage, but ignores like elevation and a couple other weird effects. Yeah.
It just sounds super cool. Like they have the same kind of staff that that Doomshaper 3 has, where it's like it's got a shattered creel stone on the end of it. So I'm looking at maybe a buff caster with a lot of like with a couple devastating spells. And maybe since he's a Rune Shaper, maybe Fury 7, maybe.
I mean, if he's walking around with a Creel Stone, he might actually have something where
he works
like a stone himself. That could be, with different buffs of some sort.
No, just plus two armor, done. Plus two armor in his control area will be good.
I mean, he could do that, but it might be actually based like a Creel Stone itself. It might go by how much fury he has on him.
Yeah.
Which could make him dangerous for running beasts, because he could, you know, go over.
As long as they don't give him a drop feat, like a knockdown feat, I think I'll be okay with that. But I think they're kind of lining themselves up for a knockdown feat.
I hope not. Well, I mean,
we could get like a Gorton feat instead, where, you know, it's a shuffle away the table. Or,
that'd be neat.
Yeah.
Be a threat extender, which is
nice. Or pull things in, or who knows what.
Yeah. So I think I've hit everyone and, like, kind of on the side hit the Scorn one. So I think that's the run of everything that there was.
I'm reading some of the chat, and sometimes it's popping up. Tort has been on fire pretty much so far. So Tort prefers vague descriptions, like from someone who was really drunk and claimed they saw a new Bigfoot.
Well, I can get there.
As in, like, the descriptions of the casters, you know.
Okay, it looks like Max is cracking into his... Well, we're at a distinct
advantage over the disadvantage over the prime.
Is this a beer or a Sobe bottle?
That is a beer.
And then his other quote, which was great, was he's pretty sure explosive earthquakes are caused by Chipotle.
Yeah. He's got that big ass Carlson hammer in one hand, like a giant half eaten burrito in the other. Really just...
Okay, don't open it. I got some on my finger and licked it off. It tastes like ass. I'm sorry.
All right, hold on.
Maybe that's the finger.
I'll try it.
No, I washed my hands. It tastes like coffee butt. What do we got, Andy? No words need be said.
All right, now I'm terrified to try this.
Well, you got an open one there you can work with. At least that's...
Lady Luck has not been kind.
Mr. Max over here has been kind enough to bring us a frou-frou beer that looks kind of neat. I mean, like, the one he's got is, I guess he said it was an Imperial Red Ale, which is beer for shit. And it's got, like, this cool, like, tank girl-looking lady who's driving an ice cream truck on the front with a gun on it. So the packaging looks really cool, but boy, do they fucking lie to you.
Well, it seems like Max is indifferent on it.
Maybe his refined palate disagrees with mine.
It's not the best thing that I've had. But, I mean, it's kind of like an Imperial, except they don't quite go all the way into coffee and just kind of fail halfway through.
Coffee beer is just the fucking worst. I just can't. I don't know.
I got a blood feud going on.
That's fine. I mean, I'll just curb stomp you outside. But I'll
end that. We appreciate the effort.
No, I do. I look forward to trying Pumpkin and then also shitting all over another beer that beer machine loves a lot, because I'm sure that's what's good. It's just going to happen. Yeah, now you're getting that. That's like, that's the, like, they say that, like, that the finish of the beer has, like, this crazy butt taste on it, but that's when you burp it up, that's the asshole of the beer.
I also had, so this is probably not the best stuff to go mixing with it. I've had glass nickel pizza, glass nickel cheese bread.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever had glass,
you've got garlic coffee butt.
It's so good. Garlic cheese bread, or the cheese bread that they make there. If you get one of their pizza makers there that's really overzealous, he just loads it with cheese. Mm-hmm. So it's like that thick of just bread and cheese.
Yeah.
So good. That and I have jalapeno poppers in me. So that was my dinner. And then I'm drinking that beer to mix with that.
Well, at least that way, if you finish one of those bottles, the cheese might run right through you, which you might need.
Nah, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like the overstuffed feeling.
It'd be like hand soap you haven't used in a long time. So there's that little crusty end on it. You just fire it out, like, bam.
Or you're just looking for that, like, oh man, this hurts so bad when you're taking a shit and it's like this, like, fucking beer can sized turd coming out of your ass. But then as soon as it's gone, that's the moment you live for. It's like,
no, that's a time that you feel like you've been shitting for a day and you look down the toilet, it's like a turd, like, about an inch wide. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I know. You're just like, I think I just got a hernia. Or an aneurysm, that could happen too. So I think that rounds out news and announcements from my side of the fence.
I don't really have much to talk about except for Deadpool.
Yeah, well, also, just as my last one punch for War Machine stuff. Jesus Christ, I love the Blightbringer so goddamn much. So good.
Oh, he's he does a lot for leading in infantry, which I'm like, it seems like you're not like Jeremy, where you believe that all infantry is unplayable trash.
No, I was playing double War Spears. Jeremy's gonna turn in his bed.
Jeremy, he plays with War Spears a lot.
I don't know what Jeremy. I don't really know what.
Probably Marshall.
Maybe I missed something. I thought War Spears were really good with that damned UA.
It makes them a lot better, but like POW 19 armor 18 is a big deal.
They're the next to get a nerf.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. I pick up a medium base and it turns to shit.
Yeah.
No, I need to beat Travis with it. That's what needs to happen. I mean, then it'll get hit.
They're just ARM 18 medium base.
But they're ARM 18 medium base that have like a really, they have a massive threat attached to them. Mm-hmm. Like, even warders can't swing two POW 19s at you. I mean, of course, you have to have the prey target selected, which if a player is playing, if somebody's playing correctly, they could probably dance around. But in the list that I've designed for it, I've got three. I'm thinking about putting four models with prey in it. Mm-hmm. So, like, you straight up just cannot get away from it. You're going to get hit by something that has prey, and I'm going to cycle it. Like, I even played it into Bradagus and just fucking annihilated his wolves. I lost on scenario, but that's beside the point. I think I left him at the end of the game with one stupid guardian.
Jeez.
Wow.
With double War Spears. I didn't have to feed any. I didn't feed anything back either with Aggrosh. Just never had to use his feet.
Damn. I think, Jeremy, that was about the only infantry that he ever used was War Spears.
They seem. They're legit.
They're really good. I mean, they're tough. They can take a beating. They can give out a horrendous beating.
Well, and then in that list, you also have like the anchor of your caster being just really fucking hard to kill. Like, I ended up playing with a Scythian instead of a Carnivian in there, so I don't have access to Spiny Growth, but I still have a Shredder, or which now is the Pot. But I have the Pot in there to kick out a Shredder for Tenacity. Like, it's just a really hard list to beat up on. Like, you can't commit a whole lot to it. You have to eliminate the threats, but it's so hard because behind the two bait War Spears, you've got three more, and they like I said, those the assault shots from them are just wicked, where you don't need five of them to do work. And then behind that's a Blightbringer, and behind that's like next to it's maybe a Scythian, and then you got Thagrosh, who's just like a beat stick or just a beast that survives. Like, it's a legit list. It's really fun to play. And the Blightbringer is so good.
I want a Helios.
I'm sure it'll happen
someday.
That was, I guess, one of the other parts of the announcements too, is like with the introduction of the dual kit Colossal, they've also dropped the price by $39.99.
That's big.
So now your dual kit Colossals have a $109 price tag on them.
Depends on the kit, because some of them were actually cheap too.
Well, like, I know that I can't think of any that were less than $139. I know the Earthbreaker was $150. Or $149.99. I know that he was more expensive.
I know that the original, I want to say the Kraken was $130. I want to say the Conquest was, I think, $130 as well.
Oh, yeah, the $129. Yeah, maybe there are a couple out there that are like that.
I mean, they're definitely cheaper. I mean, which is really nice overall.
Yeah. It's good. I mean, like, the big thing is, like, now you... I think there will be a big push for people to maybe get rid of their Colossals that they have already to just magnetize the kits. But it works out nicely for people who want to run the doubles.
Yeah. It's really not. It definitely means that there's not going to be much done for Hordes unless they're going to redo some of those. I mean, technically, I guess you could see a Mountain King, Glacier King swap out, but that's going to be difficult. Same thing with...
I wouldn't even see the point right now.
Yeah. But I mean, like, for Circle, there isn't going to be... two of those. Scorn definitely not going to be two of those either.
No, they're kind of stuck with that now. I mean, not that they're stuck with it per se, but hopefully they can refine the process so it's not so bad. Because like that Glacier King, putting that thing together, I think for everyone who's owned one, has been just a pain in the ass.
So I game with, I'm not going to mention him by name, but people know who we're talking about. I game with a friend of mine who plays Heroes of the Storm. For the last couple times that I played with him, the first thing that he has said to me when I get online with him is like, "I'm sorry." I'm like, why? It was like, oh, at Glacier King. That was under my watch. So, yeah, it's actually not that bad to assemble. The only big issue with it is that front and back skirt.
Yeah, the pelt really sucks.
But otherwise, the rest of them for me went together because mm-hmm. I assembled Jeff, so went together fairly well. I had to basically just carve out pretty much the entire inside of that skirt in order to heat it up well enough so I could bend it into place.
I did a lot of resculpting on mine to get it to work right, and had to fuse a lot of gaps on the arms. Mm. But I think this I may be off base, but I think it looks like what happened to one of my main body piece was that when they pulled it out of the mold, it might have not cured fully, so part of it bent weird, just slightly enough for me to just like have a really fucking hard time putting it together. So that was my big issue.
Yeah, everything I put together on Jeff's went together flush. Like I mean, like I barely used any of the green stuff on the arms, I think the forearms with the little spiky things there. And the head went on real well. I had to do like a little makeup spot on the back of the neck, but the legs actually went together very flush. It was the skirt, the whole pelt, everything in there was the worst. And it was difficult because I could see where it was supposed to go. And if his ass was just a little bit wider, it would have gone in just perfectly. But it wasn't. So I had to basically re-sculpt it, and it was or carve out like the whole inside of it so I can get it so it'll actually go flush.
Yeah, I think mine had like a half inch gap where the skirt was from where the front of it was. So like the back half of the skirt on the left hand side was a half inch away from meeting up with the front half of the model.
Oh, wow.
So, like I said, I had to sculpt a lot. There's no way. I could probably bend it, but it's just too much to fuck with. So I just got out a glob of green stuff. And making fur, thankfully enough, is super easy. So it wasn't a huge deal. But I fear for the Hydra kit, that one's going to be weird if they have any problems with it.
Oh, yeah. If that's not like perfectly, formed.
Yep.
Yeah, I've heard they've had a lot of production issues with it, just why it's not out yet.
So. Yeah.
It was a shame because it's a really pretty model.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, and I thought that would be the first one to come out because it had a paint job.
Yeah.
The model existed, it had a paint job. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, out of nowhere, production release for the Glacier King.
Well, the odd part, too, is the Hydra's had a paint job longer than the Glacier King. The Hydra's been out since SmallCon last year.
Yeah, and I think, was it Lock and Load where the Glacier King was getting assembled?
He was released at Lock and Load, I believe. No, he was
released at Gen Con.
Yeah. It was at Gen Con.
Well, yeah. I mean, as far as like complicated models are concerned, that and the Blightbringer are pretty fundamental models. They look really good, but they're not overtly complex.
I think he was at Lock and Load as well.
He wasn't there for purchase at Lock and Load, but they were assembling it and painting it at Lock and Load. That much I know because we like the Trollblood page, Facebook page was blowing up with people taking pictures with the Glacier King and all that stuff, and just kind of came out of nowhere. But the production release was at Gen Con, because I picked up mine there. It was the best $139.99 that I put twice on the table.
What huge base was released at Gen Con, or at Lock and Load then?
I'm not sure. It wasn't Denny 3, because she was also released at Gen Con.
Yeah.
Was it a Battle 3. Engine?
No. No.
I don't know.
I could have sworn they had... they could have had... I'd ask Travis to see if he can mention that or if he could find out about that. But I know definitely the Hydra was at Adepticon. Yeah,
the Hydra and the Sepulchre as well.
Yeah,
that one was done too.
Yeah, when they announced the second wave of Gargantuans, they had a painted Hydra ready.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It looks sweet as shit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm guessing the reason why that we didn't see the Sepulchre sooner is obviously because they were going to plastics and that takes a longer turnaround time. And to be perfectly honest, had they just said that as well, I think everyone would have been like, okay.
A little bit of transparency wouldn't be bad because there was a lot of speculation on are they going to be the new plastic like the other kits? And you basically just kind of lead yourself there because of the Meat Thresher and the TP and the new Jack kits. But I think the Crix people might get a little... butt hurt if the Sepulchre comes out before the Inflictor, which I think is actually going to happen.
Well, that goes the same thing with the Protectorate Jack. That's not out yet either.
Well, the Protectorate people could give two shits about the Inditer, so.
They're stupid.
I know, the Inditer's really good.
They're really stupid. Everybody who thinks that the Inditer is just trash. I'll tell you what, Banshees?
Banshees are pretty good.
Yeah. Banshees a fucking good jack, and that thing's got Wailing, and that's what the Inditer has.
Yeah.
Wailing is amazing, especially when you run that thing right next to their caster, and they're like, oh, I cast. No, I don't. Oh.
Yeah, you don't cast it, and you have to break a Menoth jack, which isn't completely hard to do, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, my Menoth thoughts are a little off because I don't look at them a lot, but I think the Inditer has a shield.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 1021.
Yeah. He's a speed, hard nut to crack.
It's a speed 4
speed jack. 4. He's got the Guardian.
Yeah, he's got the Guardian. Which
is sad, but...
The Guardian and Sanctifier. I think it's Guardian, Sanctifier.
Mm, Sanctifier is
and
the other jack.
And Inditer. I thought the Sanctifier was on that chassis, too. Mm. Okay.
What is it? The Castigator?
No. Castigator.
No, he's the Reckoner.
Yeah.
Sanctifier is a Reckoner chassis.
Okay. Yeah, third thing that you never see.
The third one for build. That. Mm-hmm. I think it's actually only just Guardian and the Inditer, because I don't think there is a third jack in
it would make sense, because it's Inflictor... Seether and then Grolar and
they're basically just they're in Mark One. They were called Jacks of Renown.
Yep,
and that's the Jacks that they're replacing. So like the Stormclad has got that's the Signar's Jack of Renown. The Guardian is Protectorate.
Well, and then
Seether.
More, I just keep thinking of announcements now that you're amused, Andy.
That's fine.
They ended up putting out the resculpt image for the Avatar. Mm-hmm. So that means that there's pretty much no question that it'll be Deathjack and the Behemoth getting resculpted as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Deathjack I'm okay with, as long as they don't put those fucking spider web pipes on the back of it. They're the most disgusting, ugly smokestacks I've ever seen in my entire life.
Really? I like them.
The Behemoth could look less like a bubble butt.
I love Dancing Behemoth.
I'm not a big fan. That's like my extreme Behemoth happened, and I'm just going to keep it like that unless... this one looks really legit.
My original viewing of the new Avatar, I wasn't impressed.
Yeah.
Until I saw somebody had a picture of the old Avatar and the new Avatar side by side, and it definitely looks better. The problem I have with the new Avatar sculpt is it still looks like it's squatting.
That's a Menoth jack problem.
See, when I looked at it, I noticed you guys were talking about it at the murder thing, but. When I looked at the Avatar, I didn't really see the squat type posture of it. I mean, like a little bit in its legs, because Menoth legs are very like wide V shaped.
They're also all the Menoth jacks. Well, this is a problem with, I think, when who is it, Mike McVeigh? Some of the original designers for the jacks themselves made all their legs super tiny.
Yeah.
So they're all like the...
And the Menoth ones tend to have bigger, bends at the knee.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. They've got that weird V-shaped leg.
Yeah.
But I thought, when I looked at the Avatar, that he actually looked really regal, which I don't get out of the old sculpt Avatar. I feel like this Avatar looks like he's walking with purpose, like he knows that he's, like, super legit. Whereas the other one was just like, I am actually getting... Where's Darius? I need to take a shit. that was his personal toilet. But I think it looks really cool. I'm really excited to see what they do with these other jacks, because Deathjack's scale was really good. His posture was not so great. And Behemoth, I just think, like, he just really he really needs some help.
I like
like the art. It would be
fantastic. I like the look of Behemoth. His I'm in the middle of a running pose, or I'm in the middle of tipping over pose. Mm-hmm. I don't really like that much.
He's just too tiny is the problem.
Exactly. It looks like the chibi Warjack.
No, he's pretty legit sized.
Well, he's supposed to be bigger than tall.
He's supposed to be like the real, like the first, like
Colossal. He's a mini Colossal.
He was the preview of the Colossal, but he looks like the Berserker could really just be like, sup, bro.
That's kind of the problem, is he's got the same like limb size as the other ones. He just ends up looking bigger because he's got the massive Vlad-esque shoulder pads with guns on him, So it tends to make him puff up like a puffer fish a bit.
His legs are pretty legit sized. I can tell you that right now. Because I put his legs onto my Drago. Not my Drago, but my Black Ivan. Mm-hmm. And it does look like Black Ivan spent a lot in leg day.
Yeah. I just like it's really hard to compete with Kator's extreme sculpts. And I think that mm-hmm. might be the problem that comes with the Behemoth.
He should be the size of an extreme sculpt.
He should.
Basically. Yeah.
He should take up a lot of real estate.
Yeah. I'm happy for them doing this because it sounds like they're taking their inventory that they have now and they're converting it into a digital age.
Yeah, they're trying to get it up mm-hmm. to speed.
So if they ever have to remake them mm-hmm. or something like that, they don't have to rely on an old green that they have yeah. to try to run it through, you know, the volcanic mold process.
Yeah,
they could just digitally make a new one and boom, there you go. Mm-hmm. There's their newest piece.
Yeah, that could be some damage control for why we're mm-hmm. seeing it happen. As like, mm-hmm. first of all, we're going to be really excited to see him resculpted.
Yep.
Maybe not so much the Thunderhead because he looked cool before.
Yeah.
But those sculpts have a shelf life. Or not the sculpts, but the casts, the molds.
Yeah, I'm sure eventually probably will come out next is probably all those Apotheosis casters.
Yeah.
Because they're all huge beasts.
Denegra 2 got like a really cool resculpt, and it sounds like Kane 3 is another guy who's coming late 2016 from the Prime cast, but they also said he had a lot of ties to the Black 13th and had something to do with the Black 13th, so that would be, if there is one model in this game that people bitch about more than anything, it's the Lollipop Gang of Signar. And I think maybe they might be getting resculpted mm-hmm. too.
Black 13th, yeah, definitely. I mean, but that's the other thing, though, too, is if they make it digitally, they can also enhance the size of it.
It can address a lot of the scaling issues really fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm glad they're doing that because in the end, it'll be for better models overall. I mean, I like what they've been doing with their digital sculpts.
Mm-hmm. No, it is good. I mean, like there's a little bit of a disconnect with the digital process and the physical sculpting process, mm-hmm. just because like if you're one of those people who enjoys like the artistic like nature that gets put into those, it's two different kinds of art, really. I mean, it's like when digital art became really big in Magic: The Gathering, people were really like feeling the hurt because like Liliana's like second version, she looked fucking legit. But she was also just completely digitally sculpted, so you kind of get like a disconnect between the people who are like, it's an old Magic card Planeswalker.
Oh, okay.
But she, like probably one of the better looking digital arts they've ever done. And some people, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like artistic entitlement or something like that, where they're like, if it's digital, it's not real art.
Mm.
But I don't feel like that's the case. Like what Doug Hamilton does with all of everything that gets thrown at him is really amazing. Mm-hmm. I do think the Blightbringer falls a little short from what I'd want out of a Gargantuan,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't mean I think it looks bad. I just think that there was something more that could have been done to it. I also think that the Blightbringer suffers from a really big problem that none of the other factions have, is that it's in the same faction as the Archangel. That thing is fucking beautiful.
That is hand sculpted, though.
Yeah, and it was. Yeah, that's hand sculpted. But like, if you had whatever gargantuan he put out in there, was not going to look good compared to the Archangel, and that's just something that you have to deal with.
It both models, I mean, are beautiful. I love both sculptors that do that. Brian Douglas is probably one of my favorite sculptors. Mm-hmm. His hands all over that troll line have just been amazing.
Yeah, nothing but good for Troll Bloods. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Except for Sons of Break, which I'm not sure if he had anything to do with. I think it might be some of his first sculpts there.
It doesn't look like Sons they fit his style.
Yeah, but the Sons of Break, very similar to the Black 13th.
They've got stumpy legs, yeah.
I would love them to be resculpted. Mm-hmm. And if Brian Douglas didn't have anything to do with them, I'd like him to do something with them.
Yeah.
But if he did do something with them, I wish he'd do something new with them. But
yeah, fresh eyes on him.
Yeah, and I know he's been working a lot more with digital too. So, mm-hmm. so it's interesting to see what he pops out there still.
Yeah, it's a neat, cool age with the way they're doing things like that, where they can take these old ideas and whip them up quickly, and then quickly in comparison to sculpting, and you can do a lot of changing and redoing. Mm-hmm. Whereas like if with a physical sculpt, it's really not like that. So there's a lot of like logistical reasoning behind wanting to be a digital sculptor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. That's I think that's now that's well no there's it's the year of the gun mage that loves the Texas gun mages, and then the amethyst rose became the amethyst thorn, or not even amethyst thorn, just thorn is their name, and they're instead of being more gun magey, it sounds like they're more on the assassination side. So
they're almost going to be like Mage Hunter Strike Force.
I think what like I'm gonna
human side.
I think what we're feeling is more of like Devil Shadow Mutineers type stuff, where like they might have like a very specialist feel to them, where they like go on the flanks and take out things specifically. Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe they might have prey. They might have the long gunner deal, where if they aim, they get two shots, or if they aim, they snipe. Something like that. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be more of a long range threat than something that marches up the table to die.
They should bring in something. I would really like it. I think they have the rules in play where certain units will not play with other units.
Mm-hmm. They're sure as shit not going to be able to be taken by Kator.
Yeah. No. Well, I was going to say, I think it would be neat to have like a Hatred Kator or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to be
some type of bonus
models anyway. So, I see.
Some kind of bonus if they actually take on a model within the Kator faction, mm-hmm. that they would get a bonus against them.
Who is that? Linus Arissel?
Yeah, she's the only one has an outright perk against the certain faction.
Mm-hmm. Yep, she hates Blighted.
Yeah. All other blighted. The fact that they hate her and,
and can kill her in a freeze.
I have an ability that makes it so you can't see me. Oh, shoot.
A lonely tariff comes up, and it's just like, goodbye.
No. Nope. Out of all the erratas in that, I think that she should receive one small errata that makes it so her stealth, her ability, negates Isle of Sight.
Well, yeah, and you would think,
clearly that's what Winter Storm is for, right?
Yeah. It is, yes. Yes, but I think that if she has stealth, that she should not be able to be seen by things with Isle of Sight.
Mm-hmm. I'm halfway there and halfway against you. Like, I don't like rules that are against specific armies. It's one thing if a model has strengths that work against another army's weaknesses, but I hate rules that say, I work well against Legion, or I work well against Signar specifically. Like, I don't like rules like that in the game.
Sure.
Because then they weigh very heavily on the variable list building, or it makes more of the... It makes it harder to do a friendly game, too, if you include that model. Like, no, they do other things that's really useful for me, but they also hose your faction really hard.
But it's almost in the same vein as a Skinner. A Skinner is only really, really good against beasts, and she would really only be good against things that have Isle of Sight.
Well, yeah, but how many things have Isle of Sight? Like, there's three or four models outside of Legion that have it?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, but then within Legion itself, not all those models have Isle of Sight either. I mean, like, the Deathstalkers are a really big one that's taken. They don't have Isle of Sight, so they can still pop her, but at least this way she's not getting one shot by a
Ravagor.
And I mean, you can still Ravagor shoot at her, miss.
Yeah, that's that is true as well.
It's,
yes.
It's something they're not exactly a little bit, hosed. Yeah, just a little thing that's cool. But I think the Lael stuff has been buried long enough that it's nice to see some of it come up. I'm really interested in that, and
I wonder if there'll be an ally unit. Maybe
they could be an ally, but I want them to be on their own.
Oh, I was just sitting. I almost just
like Andy creamed his pants.
Yeah, I was just sitting there thinking, like, from a Highborn, you could have them and gum mages.
Yeah, that would that'd be interesting to see how that all pans out. That's why I think they're going to do something very different from what gun mages do, so you don't have that like double threat happening.
Mm-hmm. Sure, but
I mean, granted, it's only going to happen in a few contracts, or one contract.
Really. It'd almost be similar to like Black Fang pikemen and Black Dragon pikemen. I mean,
Iron Fang and then Black Dragon.
Black Dragon, yeah.
I wish they would do that more. Like, the Silverline Stormguard are actually really cool, and I don't know why people don't play with them. But, like, the Black Dragons and Silverline, I would have liked to have seen that ripple through the rest of the factions really well. Like, Cleansers with a different UA, they might be interesting.
Yeah, I would like to see more Ultimate UAs, too, so it's the same unit with a different flavor.
I think that's going to be, in my opinion, that will be the future of the game. We won't see many new units or so. We'll see a UA that changes the unit slightly in some way or another.
That was, speaking of things that changed the game really hard, that was the one thing that I missed during the introduction of the new casters, is that the most exciting thing about these is they are brand spanking new. Like, they're introducing a whole new slew of things into War Machine all at once, War Machine and Hordes. And like, it's just really cool and refreshing to see that that's coming down the line. When I heard somebody say Kane 3 is coming, I'm like, whoop-de-dick.
Yeah.
Kane 3, and then we'll get Kruger 3. That'll be super cool. But then like all these other new casters that never existed in the game except for one before. Like, I felt Trolls isn't stagnant by any means in their caster selection, but they have a lot of like multiple version casters, I think.
Yeah, well, they haven't flushed out a lot of the backstory behind it. There's a lot of one-off casters in the faction where you don't see any more Gunnbjorn or Jarl or even Kalandrun. She's been a big player in the story of late.
Yeah.
And so
it is nice to see a new introduction, though. Some new blood coming in. But the I will say with those casters, that's definitely something where the Trolls need a little bit more forwarding in that sense. Not that Trolls really need anything other than Weapon Master back on Warders, but
they have Doom Shaper 3. Crack that nut.
But you've just been playing Rhett too much, where you have to cry bitter tears when you stare at Doom Shaper
3. Yeah, well, he plays Rhett. He knows that.
It is our sovereign right that Ron just deals with Trolls, okay? You can't take that away from us.
Yeah. I like moving Trolls, and I can't move Trolls with Ron. You've got fucking implacable in play. Son of a bitch. Or two fucking Glacier Kings. How am I going to deal with that fucking shit with my piss poor Raven list?
Yeah.
Not very well.
Just got to level up, Andy. Spend some time in the dojo. But I think like with Kane 3 coming out, maybe like Andy had talked about it earlier, where maybe we would see a book with double casters or things released all at once.
Yeah, I was thinking that it seems odd that they would release everything at once and give us like almost like a full description as if they're ready to go.
Yeah.
They're
painted and made, so.
Yeah, I'd almost guess that maybe the next book will not be a War Machine book or a Hordes book. It'll just be a War Machine and Hordes book.
That's
a
lot of content to put into one book. Like, it'd be an expensive purchase.
But at the same time, I'm wondering if that same book would not be like a remix of some sort, where they could actually put all the errata, all the actual rulebook errata into that.
While I would really like that to happen, the chances of that happening, at least in this next book, I think are pretty close.
You don't think it might be a remix?
I really doubt it. I mean, I'm happy to be wrong, but I don't know.
I think it might. I think it could possibly be a remix,
especially if it lands on the errata date. Like, that'd be interesting. I mean, it sucks to be like, here's this rule book with an errata in it, but it'd still be kind of neat to see. I think it's what people. There's going to be people who bitch about it, but for the last 8 months or so, people have been bitching about us not having it. So it seems like it's the 40K convert in a lot of us, where it's like we're not happy unless we're completely bitching about the game. But I think maybe it's just gotten to that point, and that's how you know you've established yourself as like a power player in the wargaming industry.
It's been since 2010, I think.
Yeah, 2010 before we've had any
since we've had like an actual, in a sense, a rules revision for it.
Yeah,
I mean it's been a long time. I mean, I think Prime Remix came well within, that was released, I think, before Superiority, I want to say.
Not long. Like I remember that the remix happened. They got like one, maybe two books in, and then it was Mark II. Like it. The remix was not a long wait to Mark II.
I think remix was two books before Mark II actually hit. Was because it was remix, I believe, then Legends, then Superiority, then Legends.
So if they had a remix book, how would you do it? Because we obviously can't do everything. That's just completely impossible.
Well, in one book, if they're doing a remix, they basically have to, in a sense, they would basically re-release Prime again with whatever. Maybe they could just toss in a new caster into each section into that, because they've done that before with the newest Prime. They added a new caster to it.
Mm-hmm. See, I wouldn't be surprised if they just kind of revisited the old army book format either. You know, just like, because there's enough substantial changes for each faction where they could do a core rules again and then
a new army book again.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting.
Think about how many entries that you have that aren't in the core like forces of book.
Well, I have
your choice of faction.
If I want to play Gatsby 2, there's no physical incarnation of his card that works.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good example.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people have talked about like print on demand. That would have been something really cool for in the future.
War Machine. Yeah, or for War Room.
Well, I mean, like, where you, yeah, where you can print out a card set and have a ride of changes.
It'd be nice, but there's a professional quality in the privateer cards that I can't replicate.
Well, you just go down to Kinko's or some shit, and it's pretty cheap.
I would not mind them coming out with like a mark, like a sequel to the faction books, where they have everything from the point of the book.
Instead of re-releasing the faction book, get a sequel to it where you get a little bit more fluff and
then maybe a new caster or something to that. I wouldn't mind that, but I wouldn't want to have to rebuy that book again. Mm-hmm.
Or look at the same shit.
Or look at the same book in a new fluffier format.
Yeah. That was like with the resculpts. I think I maybe have said this before, but it's probably just because I bitch about it a lot. Like with the resculpts happening, I saw the resculpted Ruck, and I was just like, please print his card with Reach. If you want to charge me $54.99 for a model, put Reach on it.
What, a rock? No.
Yes.
No.
Put Reach on him.
You are not going to
make him 13 points.
No.
I'll pay it every fucking time.
You are the reason why that rock will never get Reach.
Just give it to me.
No, he's already got Goad. He's got Goad and Berserk already, and that's pretty fucking broken anyway. That's
the thing is, like, you can play him with one caster and he's all right.
No, you can play him with three casters. Well, he's amazing.
Doomshaper 2 is the one where he just really, like, goes fucking nuts.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Like, that plus 3 inches of threat range makes you legit.
And wild aggression.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Fuck putting Primal on my 11-point beast.
I use Primal on the lights. I like to sit there and turn, like, that little Impaler into a power 15, mat 7, you know, prick.
But if Dozer and Smig is bad as 9 points for support, Ruck as 11 points for support, that probably is going to kill his... The big thing is he could legitimately kill his charge target with his assault spray and sit there with his dick twirling in the wind.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen. I just don't usually assault things like that. But that's neither here nor there. There's a design space limitation that they've got on Troll Blood Beasts because of the way the Mauler and the Blitzer are designed.
Yeah, I guess so. It's just... Yeah, that's what I was hoping for.
You're not going to see it.
I know I won't.
It's a little annoying that Dozer and Smig are made specifically to help buff the Blitzer, but they're all their abilities buff bombers.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, oh, what's your animus? Nice.
Stuff that makes bombers better. Oh, wait, you're supposed to play them with Blitz.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Dozer and Smig are fantastic with like a Blitzer and then a bomber, and then you realize you're staring at the three figures there, and you're looking at about 30 points.
Yeah, that's like when you want to take Dozer and Smig, it's almost like you have to look at him on his own. Like, you see a guy who can charge, murder everything within a half inch of him, and then shoot a Kador gun, which... Not everybody's been waiting for. Like, what's something?
You're gonna rat too.
Yeah, wow. So good.
Tort says we've been talking about War Machine too much here.
Oh, well, that's all right. I have this cool deer meat story. So, when I was younger and I was living with my girlfriend's parents, I had to have been 17 years old, but I was broke as shit because her mom moved out. So we were just holding the house down and I wanted tacos for lunch. And the only meat I had in my fridge was from my uncle, who was a big hunter. And it was venison beef, basically. Venison hamburger, whatever you want to fucking call it. Yeah. So I made venison tacos, and it was the most dry, nasty fucking piece of meat I'd ever had in my entire life. Those tacos were fucking rancid, and I will never, ever eat venison beef again.
Are you sure you just didn't have a bad...
No, there was no fucking fat on it. Like,
because you cooked it too long. That's
no, yeah, don't it's... you tell me what I did. I cooked it to where it was done, and I had tacos, and it was fucking disgusting.
It sounds like you cooked it way too long.
Venison jerky is fucking legit. Is awesome stuff.
Well, you don't cook it too long.
Yeah, you spice venison and put it in a sausage.
Well, I figured spicing it with Old El Paso would be okay. It was fucking terrible.
There were many warning signs with this plan, and you ignored all of them. Yeah,
deer meat already has kind of like an irony, bloody taste to it anyway. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you add more salt, which is basically,
Well, the thing was, is like...
That does sound horrible.
You know, when you make tacos with beef, like, it kind of gets like watery, and you can kind of see like the soup of the... Of the taco seasoning starting to really go on the meat, like just kind of covering it, going inside it. It's a good time. But like when I pulled off these deer meat tacos, it was just like the powder just stuck to the sides and there was no liquid anywhere. Like they just took all the water and absorbed it and made it into like a Kool-Aid sprinkled taco. It was fucking terrible.
It sounds like the chef.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's a Pepcac issues.
We'll have to find some hunter who's got some spare venison and revisit this properly.
I actually do have some.
There we go.
Yeah,
there we
you go. Can make me some venison shitball tacos. Do you fish at all?
No, I don't.
God damn it. I need a fisherman who does nothing but fishes for bluegills that he'll sell to me.
Wow, really?
Bluegill is like the most amazing fish in the world.
Sunfish.
Bluegills.
Like, sunfish.
If you fillet them, just put them in a little bit of like flour and seasoned salt or pepper and deep fry that shit. Like, oh, it's so good. Like, people are missing out. Like, I see like cod and halibut being like the big fishes for frying. Bluegills are where it's at. Just, those things are so fucking good.
Go to any fucking Wisconsin fish fry. I mean, you'll have walleye, you'll have salmon. Or not, well, not salmon, but walleye.
Bluegills they don't normally go to because you don't get a lot out of them. They're not a big fish.
Exactly. It's very... It's a labor-intensive process to fillet those things, and you don't get a lot out of them. But when you do, like, oh, man, it's so good. It's like buttery awesomeness.
Same thing with sunfish. Basically, they're basically almost the same the same fish.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was a form of sunfish.
Yeah. Perch is also really good, too.
Yeah.
Going to any fish fry in northern Wisconsin, you're going to have walleye, perch, and those are amazing.
I just always liked talking to people from the more southern side or southeast side of the states where they were like, when they find out that you love eating bluegills, they're like, that's what we use for bait. And I'm like, yeah, it's really good, though.
That's why it works.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's my exploration into meat. Deep fry some bluegills. Shit tastes good.
Checking up my poor
I'm
fact.
I'm checking it up, but you are correct.
Oh.
What is your fact? Oh, it's a type of sunfish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are we? Have we all seen the Deadpool action?
Fortunately, I have not. I'm seeing it tomorrow, but I'm okay with spoilers.
Well, I don't even think I need to talk about spoilers so much because the plot of the movie was good, but it wasn't what made me want to watch the movie or why I thought the movie was good when it was over. Like, it was a... A very, like, Naked Gun style movie where the moments were what I loved about it. Super great movie. Like, the portrayal of Colossus is just fucking amazing.
I am... So, you and I, we are brothers in the fact that we enjoy Colossus a lot.
Very much,
yeah. My favorite X-Men ever.
They did kind of whitewash him a little bit, if you want to go... Well, they good guy washed him.
Peter has always been a good guy.
Yeah.
Peter has always been that brother who's been responsible.
I think he went from good guy to like paladin.
Yeah.
Like there's that shift up from.
I would have liked to have seen him shift into human once.
Yeah, I would have liked that.
Like when you're riding in a taxi,
then they would have had to find an actor for him.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah, I guess is they couldn't. They did blatantly say they couldn't find any more actors.
To be perfectly honest, I was fine with him being in metal form all the time. Because number one...
Being in the cab, though, like, no, logistically, when you're thinking of it, like, I'm a guy who weighs probably 5,000 pounds.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get my fat ass into this cab.
Yeah. With my Slurpee.
With his Slurpee, yeah.
No, that was honestly... I was completely fine with that as well. Because number one, the only times we've seen Colossus in the other X-Men films is in X-Men 2, partially in X-Men 3, and then partially in Days of Future Past.
Well, in those, he doesn't shift very often.
He's mostly in human form in all of those.
Yeah.
Like, the only time you see him shift out was in Days of Future Past, when he does the fastball blink special, which that was... actually legitimately awesome. And the other one is when he was running the kids away in the X-Mansion.
And this is an interpretation that I've had, and I don't know if it's quite correct, but I thought Colossus was also like super gay. Not like super duper gay, but he is a homosexual person.
Ultimate universe, he is. In the standard 616 universe, he is not.
Okay. That was the gist that I got. I don't care if he's gay or not. He's still fucking amazing.
I saw somebody post some horrible trivia because he's always been represented by like an American.
Yeah.
In the X-Men films, except for Days of Future Past, which they did actually give him finally a Russian accent. But I heard somebody say it was like, oh, the part of the trivia of Deadpool is, oh, they gave Colossus a Russian accent. He hasn't had one previously until the previous X-Men films. Like, what fucking comic books have you been growing up on? Because Colossus has always been a Russian.
Yeah, he always has been.
He's always been. He's always been that one part that drew the team together because they were from different nationalities. They were from our hated, one of our most hated people back in the Cold War is the Russians.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yeah, no, that's I thought that trivia was bullshit.
I feel like Colossus has been the basis for a lot of other Russian, like, not so much heroes, but Russian, like, strong people things, or strong people characters, like the Mother Russia from Kick-Ass 2. You put her in metal, she's fucking Colossus. Like,
who?
Straight up.
Who?
Mother Russia? I think that's what her fucking name was. The big tall bitch who flips police cars?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In Kick-Ass 2? Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes.
If you wrap her in metal, she's Colossus. Like, that's just the way it is. Like, he's set the precedent. And maybe it's just because, like, the Russian tanks of World War II kind of inspired really Colossus. From there, it just kind of kept getting exacerbated over other characters. But I still am just going to go back to Colossus because I hate being a... I don't want to ever be a history buff.
He is, yeah. I was very happy to see him be Colossus.
Yeah.
I was more excited. I've never really been a ridiculously huge Deadpool fan. He's always been kind of that side character. He's
the background guy, yeah. Yeah. He never was big for me.
He's been entertaining, but when I first saw that first trailer where he was walking side by side with Colossus, and Colossus, like I said, it looked like Colossus. I was like... I was sold. I was done. That I had to see the film.
Well, and then I think probably one of the better parts in the movie for me, that's not going to spoil a whole lot for you. It's just something really hilarious. It's like Deadpool's known as like that fourth wall breaker. Mm-hmm. And like they end up during the scene where Colossus, the supersonic chick and Deadpool are walking towards that like shipyard thing. Like they play the exhibit song, and like if they zoom in on the parts of the lyrics where like it really is the song is breaking down who is actually present and walking at that moment. It's so good. Like I just laughed so loud when that came on. I think it was the only one in the movie theater who actually got that. Like so good.
I got it the second time around when I saw it. I read all the stupid trivia. Did you know that was a SHIELD helicarrier?
No, I didn't know what the fuck it was. I just knew it was a ship.
That carrier at the end. Well, it's not gonna. It doesn't break anything though. Yeah, but
it's a movie made up of moments that really don't smash anything. Mm-hmm. No. They're moments of hilarity. Like I can tell you that watching Ryan Reynolds get pegged is fucking hilarious, but it's not gonna spoil anything for you because you're gonna see it and you're gonna love the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm. It's also not news.
Yeah. No.
But. Yeah, that's a shield. Supposedly, that's a shield helicarrier at the end there that they're fighting on.
Nice, interesting.
And the original script was supposed to have Cannonball.
Okay, yeah, that would have been neat.
That explains the
Negasonic Teenage Warhead is her actual powers. I believe she's just a psychic with premonition powers. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't. Her name in the comics. Because she's an actual character in the comics. She is just, it's an ironic name. Mm-hmm. She just has this really kick-ass destructibility name. And the movie, it was supposed to be Cannonball, but they like that name too.
Yeah.
So they just basically gave her Cannonball's powers.
Mm-hmm. I didn't.
Which worked well for me as well.
I didn't necessarily like how like whenever she powered up, it looked like she was getting ready to take a shit. That was probably not something.
That's part of the training.
Yeah. So. God, man, that is so good. Like, every moment of that movie was just wonderful.
Yeah.
It was an entertainment experience, to be
fair. I've only seen it once. I got to go back again because those lines go so quick and so fast, you don't know what you missed.
Exactly. It was just like, the thing is like, usually when I see a movie, I can talk about it a lot and say like, oh man, these parts were amazing and this was great. Like the Star Wars thing, I think we talked about it for 2 hours. But Deadpool, I can't talk about it for that long because it was just hilarious moments one after another. There wasn't any like, it's girlfriend, thing happens, girlfriend, thing happens again. And it's a basic plot, but like everything about that movie as far as what happened in it, it was all an entertaining experience just to be held for that purpose only.
Yeah.
It was great. You will enjoy it.
Excellent. It'll be a good makeup.
Were you seeing it tomorrow?
I don't know yet. Probably the Big Sky Drive place with reclining seats.
Oh, well, all the theaters in the area have that now.
Really?
If you go to an IMAX, though, I saw Deadpool in IMAX in Madison at the Marcus Theater in Fitchburg. And that one, the IMAX...
You mean the AMC?
Yeah, the AMC. That one does not have reclining seats for IMAX. But I don't think you need to see that movie in IMAX in order to appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. No, but that makes a very good point. I'll have to let Brian know that. See, one of the big issues that we have against reserve seating now is it removed all the spontaneity of going to see movies.
Exactly. Mm. You have to plan for
it. We have to plan for it ahead. Somebody has to fork out the $100 to buy all the tickets for everybody, and then everybody has to somehow get money to pay that person back. I think it's stupid. But now knowing that IMAX is not reserve seating, then... Or is it reserve seating with
it's
no...
It's reserve seating. Oh, they're just not recliners. But they have more of them. So, like, Amanda and I, we planned to go see it with the Ackers. Like, the John was going to see it a second time. So we were, or a third time. Yeah, second time. So we were like, we're going. And they were able to reserve seats to us since I let them know, like, here's the exact moment we're doing it. You reserve them too. And it wasn't a big deal. Mm-hmm. But I do. The thing that I don't like is, like, I think I might have mentioned this earlier, but I'm going to say it again just because, like, when I went to go see Star Wars the second time the stupid movie about the book with the people.
Job.
Amanda would know it. But it's got the lady from, fuck it. But the seating in front of us was where the good spots were, like the middle row, middle seating, but it was all handicapped. So, of course, when I'm sitting here at my computer, my moral compass is saying don't reserve the handicap seats because some person in a wheelchair is going to come in. And it's not just one person. When it gets you, it's a whole fucking busload of them, and they're going to put them all in front there. And then I'm going to be sitting in the middle being like, oh, I'm sorry, crippled people. This is where I sit.
But don't they come with their own chairs?
Yeah, but now they have their own spots now. But, like, I wanted to sit there when I got to the movie theater. Yep. And I was like, I'm glad we didn't reserve those spots because it really sucked. But then as the movie kept going, there wasn't one fucking person in those seats. And I was like, we should just fucking get up and go to those and say, screw it. But I didn't. That's my one, gripe is that, my moral compass is affecting my ability to reserve seats.
You should get that excised.
Yeah.
I think Tort is rebelling. We were talking about War Machine so much. Him and Nick are going to start a new podcast.
Well, that's fine.
They're going to talk about coffee, beer, and historical Napoleonic wargaming podcast.
I'm on for one of those things.
Call it for ketchup, coffee, and krauts.
I think I'd be able to talk about ketchup for a little while, but
yeah.
I don't know. As soon as I tried to play Bolt Action once in my life. It was my olive branch to get people to play War Machine from that side of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it was fucking miserable. Like, the game sucked. It wasn't dynamic. And every time I put something down, it was like, that paint job isn't specific to that era. Or if somebody started talking about the way their troops were loaded out, it was because of a certain
Flames of War?
Or no, this was Bolt Action.
This was
it's
Bolt
like
Action?
The Alessio Cavatori, I think.
Yeah,
his
no,
name
I
is.
I know of it.
But he, like the when you put down a platoon, you're like, well, this is like this platoon that's specific to this period, and it's basically like they're playing like dinner theater more so than a game. And when you deviated from that, it was really like it was faux pas to build a really good list with the models that were significantly better because it wasn't historically accurate or the conversations would get really weird. Like you put a gun on something or you scratch build a gun because it looked like it was period. And then these discussions go on where like, back in this period, they would have used this material and this and that. And here's the real reason why the Germans lost the war. And I was just like, fuck me. I just want to play a game.
It seems like it was probably the crowd you're playing with, because to me, Bolt Action appears to be is really more of just a like a game like War Machine, where you just build armies and fight.
Well, no, but that mentality isn't unique. I've spotted that with a lot of historical gaming environments.
That was the last square here.
Yeah, yeah,
it was completely the last square.
It's very alienating if you're not a history buff.
Yeah, but I mean, the people that I know that play Bolt Action aren't like that. I mean, they're just sitting down putting points together to build armies to play. It just seems like if you want that type of gameplay, Bolt Action shouldn't be your choice. It should be.
It's a more casual experience. Like the stats in that game matter for shit.
Well, I mean, like if you're going to look for some that's more historically accurate is like Flames of War or or even some of the Napoleonic games.
Yeah, well, they have their own books that come out that like have special rules for the periods or for the wars where you reenact a certain war. But for Bolt Action, I just like I couldn't get to get down with it. It just wasn't captivating enough, and I think that mentality. I'm not for some of our more opinionated listeners who like to warp what I say. I'm not saying all historical war gamers are shit, but from my experience of that game, a lot of the people that I played with were not that the people were bad. It's the way they approached the game was not a way that I'd ever want to approach a game.
Correct. Yeah, I agree with that entirely. I'm not the type of person. I don't think I'll ever get into that type of historical gaming ever. I don't like the idea of playing a scenario in that. I don't want to sit down and play the Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah.
Because I know how the Battle of the Bulge turns out. It's for me to play that and then have it end a different way, it doesn't feel like I played that scenario correctly.
Yeah, or yeah, if you're like, you're just playing as the Germans or whatever, correct, and you actually win a game and you're like, well, that wouldn't have happened in this era because of this and that and this. And it's just like, fuck off.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel right. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't like that at all.
Yeah, it's not my cheese. So, oh,
Tort says, direct quote from Brian is all historical war gamers are shit.
That's all right. If that's fine, I'll just like, I can only ever go to War Machine Weekend and play in conventions anymore because I can be guaranteed there will be no Malifaux players there. And there won't be any historical players there. So that's the one place where I can like unruffle and just like undo my belt and kick back. But like I was thinking about MomCon and they were talking about how they were getting somebody set up with Malifaux and Infinity and all these other shit games that nobody likes to play. And I was just like, I cannot go to that convention without wearing a hood all the time because I just swear.
A white hood?
Somebody, yeah. Yeah, one that's really pointy, too.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It'd be like a ghost trying to scare them away from their game.
Oh, man, yeah. I can just, like, carry around little crosses and stick them on Malifaux tables and light them on fire.
Little lowercase T's for time to go.
Exactly. Yep. So that's my... I'll go to MuseCon, but I will go under an alias, and I'll probably be wearing a cloak of some variety that hides my true identity. I'll be like a superhero, War Machine superhero.
War Machine Man.
Yeah.
There's already a superhero called War Machines.
That's what every time you guys have banned me from talking about War Machine in a podcast, I've always wanted to just research him like a crazy person and bring it up constantly throughout the episode
to talk about Rhodey Rhodes.
I don't even know who the fuck that is. But
that's who War Machine is.
Okay, I just knew he was some black guy in the movie. But
is that all you could see through the old eye slits that you had?
Exactly.
In your mask?
Yeah, you had those like those caramel looking colored eyes.
Okay. Jesus. Zappity.
That's how we do this, right?
Yeah. So Max, you're new to the podcast. Indeed, do you have anything to say?
I guess mostly the stuff that I've been looking into right now is starting up a new RPG, which is definitely not War Machine content.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if you start talking about War Machine...
It's going to be fucking Pugmire.
Damn it. If you follow me on Facebook at all, pugs all the way down.
Creepy obsession with the worst fucking dog in the world.
Hey, all I know is that Craig Ferguson has one. And he loves it, and it's very farty.
God, I'm gonna Kanye you and let you finish. But sure. I mean, like, I was at an outdoor suspension party, and this guy brought all of his fucking pugs with him, and I tried to stay the night out because I liked the atmosphere. It was a fun, good time, and we were just having a blast with all these people like to hang from hooks, and three fucking pugs all goddamn night. Oh, I wanted to punt them so hard. He didn't tie them up or anything, so they'd wander into your tent and be really fucking annoying, and you're just like, oh, I just want to beat the shit out of you so bad, but you're so small, and I can't because I feel bad for it.
Every single... When you mentioned suspension party, I was sitting there thinking, it's like
Ferris Bueller's Day Off shit going on over
here? No. When you're talking... No, not Ferris Bueller. I was thinking of, like, car suspension party. I was we got a whole bunch of, like, low riders.
Like, and hang out with a bunch of Mexicans.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You can wear a fursuit.
Pugmire.
Pugmire, yeah, anyway, is a new RPG that's out on Kickstarter right now. It's like the game that was designed specifically for me with all of the post-apocalyptic dog role-playing that you got going on.
It didn't look post-apocalyptic to me. It looked more like it was, like, fantasy-driven.
So it is set in a medieval setting, but the idea is that it's in the far future after humans have left the Earth or all died off or something like that.
Okay.
The dogs have inherited the Earth. So one of those,
like, reset world apocalypses?
Yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm. Kind of, yeah. And so, you know, you go off on adventures and find different human things, such as, you know, a sacred tablet that's just an iPad. That's, you know,
that moving pictures and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Solar power or something like that. Whatever. Future tech.
That's always my favorite part in all those apocalypse movies, when someone finds an old piece of tech and it's still got a charge. Yep, like, yep. That thing can't hold a charge for the afternoon. Like, it's not good after 100 years just sitting there.
Yep, yep.
You have to have it hooked up to a generator or something, constantly mm-hmm. pumping power. I think that's where Amanda's laptop is now. It's just like, if you unplug it, you leave it plugged in for a year, and if you just pop it out, it's just like, you need to charge a battery soon. It's just turned into, like, a little bit more mobile desktop.
Very true.
Go find an old man with a morphine drip. Like, oh, no, no. Yeah. Gotta pick me back up. This ain't gonna work.
It's too dependent on it now.
So are there any really cool, like, backer bonuses for the Pugmire stuff?
Do they do
cool minis or?
So there aren't any cool minis. However, you can get either yourself or your dog into the game as one of the backer levels that you can.
And I assume that you've done that.
I have not, no. Unfortunately, I am not actually made of money.
That sounds cool. I always like it when you can plug yourself into a game like that for the Kickstarter business. So it's neat. I in general, I do not like Kickstarter as a whole. That maybe just a side rant or just a side mention, but the whole, like, Widow's Wood thing for Privateer Press, I don't really agree with it being on Kickstarter. They're a successful company, and if they think that their board game is going to be shit unless people fund it outside of their company, then maybe they just shouldn't make it.
Thank goodness someone else shares that opinion.
I am with you.
Yeah, like, there's a certain game, like a certain company threshold at which it's okay to do Kickstarters for me. Mm. Like, so, for RPGs, like, most of them, they're not making much money anyway.
No, so exactly.
Like, whatever. But, like, Privateer Press, they're, like, besides GW,
they're a big company.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they might not view themselves that way because of, like, the revenue that they pull in, but, like, another bottom feeder in that area too. Like, I love what Mantic does. They do some cool shit, but Jesus Christ, if they would stop throwing every shit ball at a screen window to see what makes it through. Mm-hmm. The Walking Dead game, like, give me a fucking break. Like, they paid out the nose to get the licensing for that game, I'm assuming. But they're still going to Kickstarter it to alleviate risk? Like, fuck off.
Well, that goes the same thing with fucking Zombicide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Zombicide 1, Kickstarter. Awesome. That's a great idea.
What is it, like, season 9 now, and they're still Kickstarting that shit?
Zombicide 2, sure, I can maybe see them Kickstarting that. But the fact is, they made a lot of money off of Zombicide 1 and Zombicide 2. They're good games. There's no reason to continue Kickstarting it at all.
Oh, no, there's plenty of reason, because it eliminates their financial risk.
Yeah, they don't have to go into it. It's like, we don't believe in this game enough to say... And Cool Mini or Not is super fucking guilty of this because
all their fucking games are kickstarted.
They get everybody who's super excited about it to fund it to, like, these ridiculous levels to give them content that they could have purchased for the same amount if they just would have went with it. And then you're flooding the market with this bullshit that nobody wants. Like, Rum and Bones looked really cool as the game it was when it first came out, but it's warped into this thing where it's like some mini war game board game thing. And I'm just like, I'm fucking out. Like, piss off. You guys kickstarted it, and you don't have to worry about losing a shit ton of money, but you're never going to get mine because this is fucking stupid.
And that's
stupid.
Just it. Those big companies, they're losing out on quality control because their risk is gone. Because they just don't have to care anymore. They got their money. They're safe.
Yeah.
If it's subpar, that's fine.
Well, and mini wargamers especially, like, they're poaching on those people because we buy things that we think look cool. We might use them in some other game. Like, I might buy a cool model and try and convert it to make it work with Privateer Press, even if I don't like the model company or the game that it comes with. But, like, wargamers in general are so, like, quick to pick up models because they look cool. They don't care about the content they're getting. And somehow that creates some kind of false demand for more Kickstarters, and it just poaches on these people, and it's fucking annoying.
Yeah, and I mean, we're also, you know, stereotyped as having disposable income. So.
Exactly, yeah. You stereotyped as having a disposable income, where, like, your average wargamer, in the general scheme of, like, the group think, has a $75,000 income every year, and they think we can just throw a shit ton of money at these games, like, they're, like, it's not even a big deal. Mm-hmm.
And then you get the impulse purchase thing as well, because it's only available for a limited amount of time, might not actually be available in stores, so you got to throw your money at it now.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Or if you don't get it, then you don't get the really cool exclusive things that came with mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was my hitch. I hate exclusives, especially with, like, Zombicide. I really enjoyed Zombicide, but I missed out on the first Kickstarter. That mm-hmm. means there's a whole slew of characters I either have to find somebody willing to sell their part of their Kickstarter, and then I have to pay them whatever they feel is worth it, and that's not fun. Mm-hmm. If I own the game, I'm going in on that game, and I want to own all of that game. And Kickstarter, unfortunately, makes it very difficult to do that.
Yeah. Well, and one of the more, like, selfish ancillary things that comes along with this is you've got one guy buying into the Kickstarter, and he's got all the shit, and he's ready to play with his friends that are in his group, which is more likely than not going to be a War Machine or a 40K group. And he introduces it to those people, and they have a ton of fun with it. They're like, this is really cool. I think I want to get in on this. And you're like, well, you can't actually buy it because I got in the Kickstarter like 6 months ago. So you have to wait another 8 months for this to come out on the shelves. And mm-hmm. by the time it does, they don't give a rat's ass about it. Yeah. And then this, like, the person who jumps in on all these Kickstarters for these little specialist games is the one that's just like, they're thinning out the crowd of the
potential
core game.
Buyers.
Yeah. It's just, I think it's fucking stupid. I think mm-hmm. Kickstarter doesn't belong in wargaming, but enough people seem to think it does, and that's their business. If you're a person who likes Kickstarted mini war games, I'm not really hating on you so much as the companies that are taking advantage of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've only, my games that I've Kickstarted are all board games or card games, mm-hmm. like Boss Monster or something like Sentinels of the Multiverse is mm-hmm. other ones I've done too. Yeah. But it's only because they have exclusive things in there and I'm all in on Sentinels. That means I have to get everything that they
right, but that's an unfair position to be put in to begin with. You know, you don't want to be put in a spot where you have to do the pre-order of the Kickstarter to ever get the content.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's one thing if it's a delayed launch where, like, if you kickstart it, you can have this pre-order content a year in advance or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
walling off all that content forever
yeah.
is just, it's an unfair way of getting money.
Yep. Yeah. And that's the kind of the cool thing that at least Sentinels is doing is that, yes, they do have special Kickstarter exclusive things for, like, extra special characters. But this last iteration, this is the end of their game. They're releasing all of the special promo cards all in one pack with alternate art. So, like, mm-hmm. if you still have Kickstarter stuff, then you still have something exclusive and neat. But,
yeah, but the rules but aren't
the rules, the rules aren't, you know, only yours. You get other people can have them too, finally, mm-hmm. which is nice. Yeah,
that's always been my problem with Kickstarter is just... I don't think it's right for the gaming community.
The only one I've really not minded is the Shadows of Brimstone Kickstarter that came out.
I was going to say, there are some games that I'm all right existing on Kickstarter because only one person needs to buy them.
Sure.
And that's it. So if you're that guy who jumps on every Kickstarter, somebody like Brian maybe, where like he buys all of the Cthulhu Wars shit just because he goes crazy on it.
Yeah.
He's the only person that really needs to own it.
True.
For a group, but like war games just piss me off. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like with Shadows, there's only one Kickstarter exclusive model, and that's a character class. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And technically, if you have a printout of it, you can easily just use that too.
Well, and like Guild Ball kickstarted their stuff too, which I'm okay with because... That was their getting off the ground company push.
Correct.
So, like, right. all of their Kickstarter sculpts are unique, but they're nothing that you can't get from a blister.
So,
like,
yeah.
other than just the actual design.
So it's similar to the Tactics Kickstarter, where yeah. you know they have all these exclusive minis for the, but it's just
the design that's exclusive, mm-hmm. not the rules.
Yep.
And like they've done really well with it, and they're already doing season two and releasing all these other really cool things, and like they're not kickstarting again. Thank God somebody has their head on their shoulders, and unfortunately enough, it's somebody from the England. Mm-hmm. Like,
I am very curious if Games Workshop will actually try kickstarting some of the new specialist games.
Then they'd have a way for people to communicate with them by voting with their wallet.
True, that's true. Apparently, that is very true.
Yeah, apparently their latest push is they're going to be putting like 40K minis into like Toys R Us and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yep, I've seen that.
The all-in-one box where you get the paint, the glue, and the kit. And that's their thing. They're going to try and poach little kids, too, which is really fucking cheesy.
Well, it's fine. It's not, I don't have a problem with the concept. The problem is they're going to have that package, and they're going to put like an $800 price tag on it.
They're going to start selling the little ones, like the little clip-together Space Marine guys, or like a little Storm. Mm-hmm. I think one of them was one of the little the speeder guys, the land speeders.
Yeah.
And like this one was snapped together, basically, and it was the plastic is actually colored as the base coat. So then you can just highlight it from there. But like it's one of the worst gateway drugs. It's like Magic the Gathering starter decks. Like but on a way worse scale.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like the end purchase, yeah. I don't have a problem with the concept behind it. Mm-hmm. The problem is Games Workshop has always mistreated me as a customer.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Like, it's like, did you want to buy this game? Well, I also buy that.
I think Games Workshop has touched a lot of people in a lot of wrong ways, and I think a lot of them exist in War Machine.
That thing that you bought a year ago that you made specially for this game, now that the new rulebook is out, that thing that you bought, you can't use it.
I have it a have massive amount of Dark Eldar lurking in the basement that will never see a table again because they're literally unusable.
Yeah.
Well, look at Necron players and Praetorians. Those models straight up do not exist in the books anymore. They stopped existing in 5th edition.
Yeah,
like they just removed it. They said all that shit you spent money on, time to convert them. Oh, and they're pewter too, so have fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what got me out of 40K was the change to all the power weapons. So then I had to go to all my Imperial Guard sergeants, all like 100 of them or whatever, and replace all of their swords with axes. And it was the most like soul crushing thing I'd ever done. Mm-hmm.
It's stupid. I mean, I'm personally not a fan of magnetizing things. Like, if it's just a quick beast swap, like the Seraph Nerf kit, I'll magnetize that, sure. But, like, people who build their, like, 40K models to have every option swappable on those hands, that's fucking annoying. Yeah. And I will not do it. So the only option left for me otherwise is to buy another $50 kit for a unit that I might not even need all the guys from. It's just... Now, Games Workshop, their models are fucking gorgeous, and I hate them for it, but like that game's priced me out and pissed me off in so many different ways that I just can't even do it anymore.
Mm-hmm. We should start rolling quick here with the
Zappity Grumbles. Well, we got to do Zappities, and we got this beer that I'm going to make all the beer machine people hate me for, too.
All right, so we're going to quickly go through these and then quick recommendations from there. Zappity Grumble. Would you rather go to a restaurant at the end of the universe or see God's last message to his creation?
Restaurant.
I think I'll do the restaurant.
Yeah, the restaurant seems like the better bet because I can't imagine that the God response wouldn't be cynical and bitter.
I'll go restaurant too.
It'd be an emoji for a troll face.
And think of all the delicious new meats that have been created by the time the end of the universe comes along. So
exactly.
All right, feel free to add in your own here because I'm going to combine both these Zappity Grumbles, into one. Is Liam Neeson, Stephen Lang, or Ron Perlman, who would make the best Nathan Summers?
Who's Nathan Summers?
I got no fucking clue who half those people are.
You know who Ron Perlman is.
I know that it's a thing you do when you poop on somebody's chest.
You don't know who Ron Perlman is?
Oh, wait, no, that's when you come on somebody's neck.
Hellboy.
Right? Is that that?
No, who's Nathan Summers?
Nathan Summers?
Yeah. Are we talking about like
Cable?
Right. Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
Ron Perlman's the only one that I recognize, and it makes me think of ejaculating on someone's chest.
You know Liam Neeson.
Yeah, I do. Well, yeah, but he's in those Taken movies where he can't even keep his fucking wallet, so.
That is a great line from Deadpool, though, too. I'm not going to mention it because Yeah, but it is a great line from there. And basically, somebody asked who would make a great Cable for the next Deadpool movie. Honestly, I think Ron Perlman would be a good one.
Oh, if that's the question, then.
Yeah.
There was a guy who specifically requested that he was.
Stephen
was,
Lang, I think it
is. Yeah, I think he's the one that when I saw the picture of him next to, like, this guy requested to be Cable in the movie, I think that'd be fucking legit. Or that guy.
Just because an actor requests they want to be a role doesn't make them good for it. Remember Nicolas Cage in Ghost Rider?
That was really bad.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know. But still, like, I think Cable's thing is more of his physical presence.
Yeah.
So much more than, like, his actual, like, ability to play the role. Like, Cable's just an angry leader guy, and that's what he does.
Somebody had mentioned, I can't think of his name now, but I'll have to look
Let me
up.
Travel back in time and take the Russian guy from Rocky.
That's come on. You don't know
I don't name. Know who the fuck he is.
Come on.
I don't know.
Come on.
It wasn't Apollo Creed.
Dolph Lundgren.
That was a black. Okay, Jesus. Sure. So that
Dolph
guy,
Lundgren honestly wouldn't make a bad Cable either.
Mm-hmm. Is he the one that's in the little commercials before the movie started with the guy who had the super crazy IQ and he'd break like the Rubik's Cube?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Make him Cable. Fuck it. Like, he needs to bulk up a little bit. Not that he's really cut. Dolphus. But, like, he needs more volume.
Stephen Lang would be fine. I think if it was about maybe 10 years earlier, he does look fairly old right now. He looks fine, but I would...
Whoever they get it, he needs to look good in a cape.
I think the other option would be Ray Stevenson.
Because Cable is synonymous to Strife, and they need to be able to be interchangeable.
Yeah.
Not Ray Stevens. Of course, that would be obnoxious. Ray Stevenson, I think, would make a good Cable as well.
He would look like your Walmart variety Cable.
He
was the Punisher from Warzone.
He doesn't have quite a square enough jaw for what I imagine Cable to be.
Cable's just supposed to be bulky and very linear.
And his head's just a rectangle. That's all.
Well, I mean
I remember when I was a kid.
God, if you're going to see that, the picture I just looked up of Cable. Yeah, it shows literally all cables.
For a good time, Google Cable.
Oh, man. No, I remember when I was a kid, the first time that I learned that Cable and Strife were the same person was when I got the little action figures. And, I took Strife's mask off, and I'm like, let's Cable!
See, that doesn't seem like a fair comparison, because you could also learn that Skeletor's Blue He-Man. Remove the head. You know?
I mean, but that's the thing. They had the little scar on his eye and the yellow eye, too, and, the white hair. Like, they were the same person.
Yeah.
It blew my mind.
Yeah.
And then I had to research.
He's just a time-traveling crazy guy.
Yeah, works for me, I think.
He wants to kill Gambit, because Gambit killed the X-Men. Something. I don't know.
Gambit was, when I was a kid, he was my favorite, and then it warped into Colossal.
Nope. I fucking hate Gambit.
Or Colossus, sorry.
I hate a Gambit.
I love the shit out of him.
Fuck Gambit. In the goat ass.
It was in the Uncanny X-Men, though. The cartoon is what made me like Gambit.
Really? Because I didn't think it portrayed him very well.
Maybe it was just that he had like, Rogue wrapped around his finger.
Did you saw the X-Men episode with Gambit, right? As an X-Men, as EX-Men.
No.
Oh, we have to watch that downstairs again.
Is this where he fires everyone?
Yeah. Well, the X-Men episode of Gambit is probably the best one ever. All right,
Zappity
Grumble. Fucking awesome. So the War Machine for Water tournament raised over $1,000.
Super legit.
Nice.
From Cliff Hughes had sent that in. That's awesome. It's a troubling situation over there. All right, Aaron asks, what do you think people get to the point where they hate stuff? Wait. Oh, my God.
Is that
I can't
first
read
word
this.
Supposed to be a why?
How do you think people get to the point where they hate stuff, good stuff, in their own faction?
So when do you think people get to a point where they hate the good stuff in their faction and want to become like the snowflake in air
quotes?
Yeah,
recommended too much, or they want to be the unique snowflake.
I don't know. Like, if you're looking for, like, the problem, this is my problem with snowflake people, is they ask somebody who plays the game better than they do, like, what do I need to put in this list to make it better? And then you're like, well, how about this Warpwolf Stalker? And they're like, well, that's what everybody takes. Give me something else. And then you recommend something like Druids. Everybody plays that. Give me something else. I'm like, fine. Take fucking Reaves. Have a great time. Your list is going to suck until you get better. Have fun.
Yeah, to be perfectly honest, just play what you like to play. You don't have to. You don't have to be unique. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to be unique in the game.
The way you get good with bad models is by playing them over and over and over again until you find the niche where they fit.
Yes.
The reason why Mulg is so good, other than his stats, is because there's been tons of research behind him to say, this is what Mulg does well.
The research is looking at his card.
Well, no, I mean, not even that, but people have been playing him ever since Mark II was a thing, and like he's just awesomely great. If somebody new to the game looked at him, they'd be like, okay, so he has reach, this is cool. He's speed 4, that sucks. You have to damage him to make him speed up, that sucks. But like when you actually like see how it applies in the game, it's very different. Whereas like when you look at something like Reeves or Wolves of Orboros, you're like, okay, these are corner case with a certain caster good, but let me try and unlock them to figure out how well they are. It takes a while to do that. And to just sit there and say, all I need to do is put this one ingredient with this really shit thing and it turns it into an awesome thing. That's like lazy wargaming. And if nobody else has figured that out or done it, then you need to do the actual table time yourself and get used to losing a lot of games.
Yeah, and I think the thing that's a really big part of it too is people tend to lock themselves into only the best of the best and don't experiment in circumstances where it's safe to experiment with subpar looking models.
Yeah.
It's always, I only play in tournaments, so it has to be top notch all the time. So you don't discover some of those weird, like, game-breaking moments. You know, it's like the easy thing is, like, Warders launched, people were outraged at how terrible their rules were. You know, like how can you use them? They're speed 4. They're, you know, like, no one's going to hurt them, just going to ignore them. They're going to be terrible and useless. And then they were everywhere because someone put them on the table and used them.
Yeah, and it's not going to work every single time. Like, there are plenty of dud units out there that are probably not going to do a whole lot on even their best day.
Yep, sometimes Sorsha is the only one who can unlock Cross-Eyed Woodsman. That's just the way it is.
Well, I mean, sometimes it works the other way around, too. Gumbjorn was a POS for a very long time.
Exactly.
And he's gotten a lot of really strong releases lately that have actually made him useful.
PP has decided that Gumbjorn needs to be a competitive caster.
Oh, he was god-awful. He was just bad.
Yeah.
Or what the other... another good point is, like, if they put that one good thing in their list, maybe it's not just the good thing that makes the list. It's not like, here's some shit, and because I have a stalker in, it makes it really good. It's like maybe there are certain synergies that are blatantly with that thing that would make that list better with these subpar choices, and you refuse to acknowledge it just because you have some kind of cross to bear that you want to make this one unit really good. Like, I think people need to get over themselves and just acknowledge that they should look at every model equally and not just dismiss something because it's like the top played thing or they don't want to be that person. Like, that in of itself is insulting right there.
It's limiting themselves as well.
Well, and like, to be fair, on the other side of that, I only play casually, not competitively, because I like to experiment with the subpar crap. Like, that's kind of the world I live in, you know? It's like, I could feel the good stuff, I do feel the good stuff, but for most of the fun games that we play around town locally, why do I need to?
But even you're still open to putting something like Mulg in a list, because you can see the blatant, like, synergy that's within that. Not because you're like, oh, fuck Mulg, he's 12 points of amazing, and I don't want to play amazing, so fuck you.
Right, right. Which no, I know better than that.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. You can get 6 Skinners for Mulg.
If only you could take 6 Skinners.
I think there are some things that Jeff won't touch.
You've seen my Filth Mountain, right?
I've seen that. But
your
like
filth,
six,
you call it your Filth Mountain?
Because it's got all the stuff the internet hates. It's got a Mountain King and Skinners and a Bouncer. Well,
they basically made the theme list for you. You can put Warders in there now, too.
I don't like the theme list. It's missing one thing that's super important to those models.
What?
Whelps. You cannot control a Mountain King or a Glacier King without Whelps.
Doesn't the Mountain King make its own?
The Mountain King does. The Glacier King sure as hell doesn't.
Yeah, well, and the Mountain King, still, if you ignore it, it just frenzies anyways. You're going to take one pow 20 to the face, but whoop-de-dick, that's all he's going to do.
Yeah, and then that Theme Force, one of the perks is you get a free beast in there. So it's one more thing you can't control with your Fury 5 casting.
Exactly.
All right, we should jump to recommendations. We have very short time for recommendations.
Okay, so you got recommendations and beer.
My recommendation quickly is Pokemorties. Play Pokemorties. It's amazing. It's fun. It's Pokemon with Rick and Morty.
Yep.
Done.
Cool. I guess my recommendation is going to be Numenera. It's an RPG that's been out for a while that I've gotten back into recently. It's super fun and super rules light.
Who makes it?
Monty Cook Games, I think.
Okay.
glad none of you are taking the easy one. I recommend Deadpool. It's fun. it's a good time. I'm going to see it again.
Yeah.
We'll probably talk about it more next week as well.
The recommendation that I have, I didn't have a whole lot to recommend recently, but we did, Amanda and I watched Zoolander 2. And although I wouldn't recommend it for everybody, but if you enjoyed the first one, this one has a lot of like fan service in it that makes it really interesting and fun to watch. Even as like myself, I'm not a huge fan of Zoolander in general, but I still enjoyed watching it because I knew the second one existed. And Andy just shit his mouth. Literally just shit his mouth. This is looking really good for Beer Machine episode 48 or some shit like that, whatever they're on. They can talk about their Kickstarter and how much
we gave. Like a small little shot. I don't need it. You won't try it.
No. I'm good.
Take a sniff of it, though. At least.
Well, okay. I'll
get that reaction on camera.
Take a whiff. Now he wants.
Does
it have
an expiration date? Yeah. You know what makes me hungry? Walking into a septic tank.
Oh, Rich is gonna shit his pants.
That should be on the tagline for the.
I may not trust the Verona liquor store anymore.
Oh man!
Oh, you went
is
to
it
all.
Is it
expired?
I don't think so.
That's what I was trying to find. I didn't.
Is this from the Frou Frou place? Like just down the road?
Just the one next to the mobile. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's the place. They know me there.
Yeah, he goes,
oh man, this smells fucking terrible.
It does smell really bad.
This doesn't smell like beer. It smells like booze from my childhood. Even Max is putting it in a glass. Like, I'm not putting that bottle in my mouth. So here's to drinking shitty beer with podcast people.
It appears I'm gonna be I'm gonna be calling in sick tomorrow.
Oh, I don't wanna do it. I don't wanna do it.
You know what?
It's better than it smells.
It actually tastes better than it smells.
Yeah. So it does taste much better than it smells. Hey, you didn't... Oh, fuck, I smoked the whole thing. You guys did it? Son of a bitch. Here, Andy. Here's for you.
Yeah, I'll take it.
It definitely, to be perfectly honest, it does taste much better than it smells.
Yeah, no, it's got a nice...
It has a pumpkin pie flavor to it.
I think it was a little bit colder. It would be better.
Well, aren't beer shits supposed to say that the warm beer's the best beer?
Well, I mean, it's supposed to be, like, slightly chilled.
Okay, because, like...
Not too much.
I literally inhaled. I did the bad thing they tell you not to do when you're 21, is I inhaled while I was, like, kicking that one back, and I wanted to vomit in the glass. Do not... Like, if you ever drink Pumpkin from whatever fucking brewery this is from...
Southern Tier.
Oh, so now I'm really going to get shit on, aren't
I? Especially since that's actually my homeland right there.
I was shit on you all day. It's not a big deal. But if you ever get this god rancid awful beer, plug your nose before you drink it. It's not that bad. I won't be drinking anymore, I tried it.
That's fair.
And that means that I can't bitch about it anymore. I can only
fortunately,
bitch
it means I need to drink the rest of it to save our souls.
Well, that's the thing is like when I brought that big bottle of Warlock. Oh man, it does not taste good on the way back. I got the big bottle from Costco, which I think is fine. Costco rotates their stock enough to where you will never get anything shitty from that place. Mm-hmm. But like
Costco, I love
this,
you.
Yeah, I had this massive bottle, and I just tried it one swig of it, and I was like, I dumped this out. I did straight up after the podcast. Mm-hmm. It went down the fucking drain.
Yeah.
Unfortunately enough, Amanda paid for it, but I think I've made it up to her.
This stuff is actually, it has I really like pumpkin pie. Mm-hmm. It has a very pumpkin pie aftertaste to it.
And maybe that's why. Like, especially the crust. Like, it's like the crust of a...
Kind of, yeah.
Maybe that's my problem, is I don't generally like pumpkin anything.
Oh, well.
And I keep trying these pumpkin beers, and of course I'm going to think they taste like ass, because I just don't think
you don't like pumpkin
goes well with sweet.
But that is, it definitely tastes much better than it smells.
So it
that
is smells, the Tauntaun of beers. Is what
Well, well, no, Tauntaun smelled worse on the inside.
No, that is true. That is true. Well, to be fair, that is also true here.
That's
true. I feel like while we're trying things, we should just squirt a little bit of that mustard on our finger.
Huh? No. Well, we're actually want to. I'm going to save that for like a day that will grill out or something.
Okay. Well, you can grill out. System grill out.
Actually, yeah, this does seem like something would go really good in a brat.
Yeah, I think that would be well. All mustard is good on a brat anyway.
No, this is mustard. This is barbecue sauce.
I know, but I mean, I would like to try a burger with it on it or something like that.
Southern Gold.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's really mustard, but
that was from Taubeast. Oh, which is an interesting fact that Taubeast sent us pork rinds in there too. There were 2 for 1.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing that he got the other pack.
The other
package.
Bag.
Yeah, because he only got one bag.
I still like, I cannot stress enough that pork rinds are like the worst thing ever. Because like you eat them and they taste like a really nice spicy Cheeto, mm-hmm. but then like afterwards you like let that settle on your tongue and then it tastes like you just ate the hair off that fucking pig.
And it leaves this really nasty film in your mouth.
Yep. It's gross.
All right. We should probably end it on
that. All right. We'll kick it at nasty pork rind dick.
All right. Thanks for watching.
And listening, bitches.